If you looked at the bulletin, the title of my message this morning is Life Well Lived. Whether you are young or old or somewhere in between, a life well lived is something everyone wants. The question is how do you live life well? It doesn't matter what age you are or how well you have lived life to this point. How will you live every tomorrow the Lord gives you? As we continue in 1 John, John tells us how to live life well. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to pick up in verse 28. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. We read this last week, and we're going to read it again this morning. Now, little children, abide in him, abide in Jesus, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. And how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in them there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Live life well. Live life well by confidently being ready for the coming of Jesus. Jesus will return someday. Do you live as if that's a truth, a reality? Or do you just say, well, you know, we've waited this long, he's not coming. We are to stay with Jesus, and I would encourage you, I would challenge you, I would beg you, deepen your relationship with Jesus. Make him more in your life. John urges this continuing, deepening relationship with Jesus by urging us to abide in him. You say, well, abide in him? What do I do? Do I move in? Well, you move your heart in. You move where you put your trust into him. You put where you think about every tomorrow that the Lord's going to give you, that he is there and going before you. John says, be aware of his righteousness. Abide in him. Live in him. Remain in him. Obey him. And this involves this continuous, repeated action. And this demands a response of faith. Eternal life begins when you come into a covenant relationship with Jesus, not death. So if you're a follower of Christ, if you truly know Jesus as your Savior, you are already experiencing eternal life. You say, man, what about all those aches? What about all that stuff that hurts, whether that be physical or emotional? What about all that? Well, it's a both and. We live in our sinful, fallen bodies that were affected by the fall of man. We hurt. Things deteriorate. Let's not talk about that. That's enough of that. But the truth of it is that the hope that I have in Christ is the same today as it was when I was 8 years old, and it'll be the same when I stand before him. that my hope is in Him. That what I am living for is Him. We are to die to sin, and we are to die to self. By no means do I believe the Bible teaches any sort of universalism, nor do I hold to it. And that's what John, I think, is really getting at. Because remember, there were those in the area where he's writing that said, you know, if you raise your hand at Vacation Bible School when you were 5 years old, you can just do whatever you want because God's got it. Well, I'm not saying that you can't be at 5 years old and truly come to know Christ as your Savior, but just raising your hand doesn't mean anything. He says, abide in Him. And an aspect of this abiding in Christ is a spiritual growth, a growing, developing, deepening intimacy with Him. There is a certain amount of embarrassment, a shrinking away upon someone coming and you not doing as expected. And that's why he says, Jesus is coming back, and we don't know when that's going to be. Be prepared. Watch expectantly. And so this is an incentive for a proper Christ-honoring behavior. He is righteous, so you practice righteousness. Live in such a way that you recognize and accept God's right upon you. So live being ready for Jesus to come. In the house I grew up in, my parents' home, the kitchen and the den where we typically watched TV was around the corner from the front door. And I realized early on that I could tell by the sounds that I heard who was coming in. My dad had a certain sound. My mom had a certain sound. And I made sure about coming home time that I wasn't doing anything that I didn't want them to see me doing. And isn't that the way we live? Are you living this morning in expectation of Christ's appearing? Are you living so that others can see and recognize and accept God's right upon you? Is your behavior, is your language, are your desires different from the world because of Christ? Well, if they're not, then step back and think about your relationship with Christ if you claim to have one. Or maybe this morning that when you say, well, no, my desires, my everything is the same as the world, then maybe what I'm saying to you is that you need to come into a saving relationship with Jesus. And you do that by sin, confession, and repentance. Confessing of my sin and repenting of my sin. And that's what John is calling us to. Is your behavior, is your language, are your desires different from the world because of Christ? Or is your life all about you? Your comfort, about your wants? Do you really desire an intimacy with Jesus? Or do you just want what you think you can get from Him? Do you have a confidence that Jesus is well pleased with you? And if today He comes, you won't be caught living a life that's less than well. Keep on abiding in Him. In the best of times, abide in Him. In the worst of times, abide in Him. And everything in between, abide in Him. Keep on growing in Christ. Well, my question to you then is, what are you doing to grow? Having grown a plant or two in my day, I realized a long time ago that for plants to grow, they had to be fertilized. Ooh, that's... So what are you doing to grow? Are you living life well? Live life well by living as a dependent child. John makes another declaration that God is our Father. And he does this in making the statement about the lavish, extravagant love given to us. How great a love the Father has bestowed on us. Given us. There is no sense in this of earning God's love or earning God's favor. I've done this so he's pleased with me, so I can expect him. But the other day I did this, and so he's not pleased with me. No, he says that he has poured out this extravagant love on us. We are called children of God because we are reborn spiritually into God's family. Another way of thinking of it is that followers of Jesus are adopted into his family. We are not all children of God. We are all made in God's image. But we are not all children of God. It is that saving relationship. It is that being reborn spiritually, or it's that being adopted into his family that make us children of God. So rely on him. There is a change of heart. There is a change of character when that happens. And faith precedes behavior. And right behavior is a result of proper belief. As children, we are still anticipating what we will be on his appearing. But we will be like him. John said, I don't know what we're going to be like when he appears. But when he appears, we will see and we will be like him. Now, today, living in our sinful, fallen world, we tend to see him as we want him to be. But he says, because of this hope, because he is coming back, because we will see him again, purify yourself for right conduct now. Live as a dependent child. James Schuett tells of when he was a small boy growing up in Pennsylvania. He and his parents would often visit his grandparents who lived 9 miles away. One night, a thick fog settled over the hilly countryside before they started home. Hewitt remembers being terrified and asking if they shouldn't be going even slower than they were. His mother said gently, "Don't worry, your father knows the way." His dad had walked that road when there was no gasoline during the war. He had ridden that blacktop on his bicycle to court his mother. And for years he had made those weekly trips back to visit his own parents. How often, Hewitt says, when he can't see the road of life and have felt that familiar panic rising in his heart, he has heard the echo of his mother's voice, "Don't worry, your father knows the way." Are you living knowing your heavenly father knows the way? You say, "Well, yeah. Then why do I struggle with the things that I struggle? I have to remind myself that he knows the way. I have to remind myself, I have to coach myself that he knows the way. Does your life show proper respect for your heavenly father? Are you living as that dependent child? Do you have a sense of his lavish love for you? Sometimes we try to blame others for our behavior. "You made me do this," when all along you chose your behavior. So don't blame anybody else. Some try to blame God the same way, only he loves you with this lavish love, a perfect love. Do you realize that? Do you feel that? Does that determine or affect what today's going to hold for you, how you're going to look at it, how you're going to look at your life? Are you living as an obedient, loving child? Are you living with hope, that sense that God does know what's going on, that he does have a plan for you? When you hear the words "purify yourself," what do you think? Oh boy, here comes a bunch of rules. No, think of it this way. Think of it that by keeping our hope fixed on Jesus, that it is about him, what he can do, and not about you. And it's not about a bunch of rules to follow. It's about being in a relationship where you want to love the one that you're in relationship with, that you want to honor the one that you're in relationship with. Men, how long have you been married? Do you still open your wife's car door? when you go to the car? Oh, I quit that for a while. And I'm not the best at it yet. But I want to show my wife that I love her by doing those little things. And we can look at the Lord the same way. That we are to live our lives to honor Him. Are you living life well? Live life well by uprooting the sin in your life. Get rid of anything displeasing to God. Let me define sin this way. Sin is a willful disregard for God. I don't care what you say. I'm going to do it my way. Remember chapter 1, verse 9, if you find yourself there. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John very plainly says in verse 4 that anyone who keeps on sinning, anyone who practices sin, is of the devil. It is one thing to inadvertently sin. It is quite another to keep on doing it when you know that what you're doing goes against God's word. But thankfully, sin can be stopped by the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. In verse 5, sin is related to the person and work of Jesus. He is first the revealer of sin, but also our redeemer from sin. And in verse 6, sin is related to the human race, that the person living in Christ, abiding in Christ, does not keep on sinning as a habit. Those in Christ have the power to overcome sin by this positive obedience to His commands. So the Christian has policy must not sin, but behave with obedience and love and faith. And those who continually, habitually sin are of the devil. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So uproot the sin in your life. In the sand hills of South Carolina, where we lived for 9 years, there is a gardener's nemesis known as nutgrass. I love the stuff. It would come up, and you could pull the green part of the weed off pretty easily, but about 2 or 3 inches down, there was a net-shaped root that if you didn't dig that out, it would just come back up. And sometimes that's the way we deal with sin, isn't it? That we take the top of it off, we cover over it, but then it comes back up again. So uproot the sin in your life. So what's growing in your life? Is it sin or is it obedience? Remember to preach the gospel to yourself every day. Remind yourself that you're a sinner saved by grace. Remind yourself that Jesus is a great Savior. One deception some fall into is it is only wrong, it's only a sin if you get caught. Now, that may be true if you're driving too fast on the highway in terms of being caught. But when we say to the Lord, I got away with that. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. I've also heard people talk about the gray areas when it comes to obeying laws. Well, I work in the gray areas. If it's sin, if it's lawlessness, pull it out by the root, by God's word, by His grace. Live life well. Be ready for Jesus to come again. Live in such a way that He will be pleased to find you doing whatever it is you're doing. This morning, are you living as a dependent child? Keep your hope fixed on Him. And remember, uproot any sin you find yourself doing. Live life well.